couple of weeks, we've been thinking as a church about why we're gathered together. And the first week we looked at being gathered together to make known the wisdom of God to the authorities in the heavenly realms. Last week we talked about the four legs, not the three-legged stool, the stool being built for stability, but the four legs being built for movement, and the four legs of devotion to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, fellowship, and to prayer. Now, this week, we are going to look at the fact that we are gathered to do just what Julie said, to encourage each other, to bless each other. I believe blessing is probably more than encouragement, but I know that every encouragement is a blessing. And so, if we could go straight to the second slide, we're gathered to encourage. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul writes, "When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." Paul says that when people contribute in services in whatever way, whether it be me or the band or the sound people or the welcomers or whatever role you might take, it should be with the purpose of building other people up. We go to the next slide, please, John. This verse, we remember it as a memory verse from Holiday Club some years ago, some of us. It says, "Encourage one another, build one another up." So I'm just repeating really what Julie has already said. That's what we are to do, to encourage one another. So today I just want to look at five ways that I think we can encourage each other. And the first of those, if we have the next slide please, John, is by giving someone a special name. I don't mean, you know, go around and say, "Oh, hello, Twinkle, Baldy," or something like that. What I mean is, when I chose our daughter's name, Abby, it means her father's joy. And at times in her life, it's so important that she knows that. You may have chosen your children's names for their meaning. But sometimes I think there's also a great value when we say, "Hello, beautiful. Hello, lovely. Hello, gorgeous." Just be careful it's your wife or your daughter, not someone else. But it may be that just in a brotherly, sisterly way, you want to say, you know, what you say is just beautiful. The way you speak to someone, the way you address someone, it's beautiful. So I really want to encourage you to think about this, because there was a guy in the early church who was called Joseph. So you would imagine that people would call him Joe or Joey, Joe or something of that nature. But they called him Barnabas, because Barnabas means son of encouragement. Word literally means someone who draws people closer together. Someone who, by the way they interact with others, draws them close rather than pushes them away. What do you want? Oh, that's not going to draw anybody in, is it? It's going to push them away. The way we can encourage someone is to give them a name. "Hello, precious child of God. Hello, blessed one. You are such an encourager. You are a delight to me. You are such a good friend. You are a great carer. I love the way you do this or that." We're effectively giving people a name. And this is just in case you think, "Oh, this is Andy's mad idea of the week." It isn't. This is God's brilliant idea of history, because he was about doing it constantly. Can we have the next slide, please, John? An angel encounters Gideon when he's hiding in a wine press. "Good morning." He doesn't say beautiful. Anybody know what he says? Clue on the board. Any of the youngsters know what Gideon was called by the angel? You might need it whispered by anyone under 30 know what it is? Under 40? Yes, mighty warrior. Imagine it, a guy is hiding because he's frightened about a gang of men coming and taking his crop, and an angel turns up and says, "Hello, mighty warrior." Talk about a sudden shift in identity. And some of us may need a sudden shift in identity. We may need someone just to say, "You matter. You're good. There's something great about you, something that God has put in you." Some of us may need to be reminded, called you to work there. God called you to come here. God has a purpose for you. You matter to Him. You're chosen by Him. You're set apart. The next slide, please, John. Jacob with an angel. Name change. Anybody know what his name was changed to? Israel. Which means you have struggled with God and overcome. I don't, when it says overcome, I don't know if it means won or just means lasted, or you've struggled long enough for me to give you what I want to give you. But he was given a special name, Israel, a particular name. And the next one, please, John. Yeah, you've got, I can't see it on the bottom of the one I'm looking at. Okay, Simon means pebble, little stone. He was called Peter. He was called Peter, which means rock. Something stable and solid. A pebble, pick it up and chuck it in. But the rocks with all the pools around them are what you jump on and run on and climb on, and they don't get moved about. I guess there would have been rocks somewhere. I don't know about the Sea of Galilee. I've not been. Maybe. Are there any rocks around the Sea of Galilee? Anyone been there? Yeah? Is it rocky? Right, boulders. It's not very rocky, but it's granite. I can't think of anything much more rocky than granite, but sorry, thank you very much for that. I think of granite as being well solid. So imagine you go with a name that means pebble, and then someone says, "You're rock." There's a change of experience. So the angel called Gideon a mighty warrior, God called Jacob Israel, Jesus called Simon Peter, and then the last one. Someone was asleep and an angel appeared to them and said, "Call him Jesus, because it means he saves. He will save his people from their sins." He was given a name because it meant something. It may be that in the coming weeks and months, God gives you a name for you, or God gives you a name for someone else. Please share it. Be encouraged. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't seem to make sense now, well, it might make sense sometime in the future. Don't be afraid to give it if God gives you a name for someone. God does it all the way through Scripture. When Israel was exiled, everybody thought they were desolate, abandoned. So God spoke to, I think it was Isaiah, it might have been Jeremiah, and said, "I'm going to call you Beulah and Hephzibah, married, accepted," because he was going to bring them back. God is in the business of giving people names to encourage them. So we can encourage each other by giving special names. Secondly, next slide please, John, we can encourage and build up the church by presenting someone with a valuable gift. Valuable in the sense of it had some value to us, it has some valuable for them, it cost a lot of money maybe, or it cost a lot of time maybe. Present someone with a gift. Joe, called Barnabas, We read in Acts 4, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Can we have the next slide, please, John? And there are hands giving the gift. He placed it at their feet. It meant they were lord over it. It was no longer his. They could do with it what they wanted. How affirming was that to the disciples? The early church comes under persecution and you think, golly, did I do the right thing? How many of us have felt we should do this and then at the first instance it's and you think, yes. We really need at times, don't we, Jesus to say, yes, I'm with you, go for it. And here's Barnabas putting the money at their feet. It says, I'm behind you. I'm with you. I support you. The money would have encouraged the disciples. If we go on, there were other gifts that were presented. Oh, well, you got the woman on the right-hand side there presenting the perfume to Jesus, a gift that prepared him for burial, a gift that expressed great love for him. And the next slide, John. Thank you. Then there was the gift of the loaves and fish. Someone who, despite seeing what they had was useless for a crowd, gave it anyway, believed in the one who was breaking the bread. To be money. Then the donkey. We never meet the guy who gives Jesus the donkey to walk into Jerusalem with. All the disciples have to say is the master needs it. And the guy goes, okay, take it. Incredible gift, wonderful gift. All of these gifts expressing faith in Jesus. We can encourage one another with gifts. We've been so encouraged, Helen and I, with gifts recently. Thank you so much for those. Go to the next slide, John. How can we build up the church? Go with someone. Go with someone. Accompany someone on their journey. Share it with them. It might simply mean that you are praying for them. But when we go, when we did Alpha, there were people praying for us. They were accompanying us. When we did Alpha, there were lots of people running around doing jobs, going with us. I want to encourage you to go with someone so they don't go alone. It might be to a hospital appointment. It might be to a job interview. It might be simply going out because you don't have the confidence to go out on your own. It might be just being with someone so they don't feel alone, especially if they're going through a tough time. Go with someone. In Acts chapter 9, Saul has just become a Christian. Remember, he has a reputation for destroying the church. So Barnabas thinks, let's take him to church. Hi, everybody, meet Saul. Oh, where'd they all go? They think Saul is going to kill them. They're probably thinking, Barnabas, what are you doing? You brought him right into our midst. You've exposed us all. Get me out of here. But Barnabas, this is what happens. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. How his journey to the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Barnabas with Saul. It made a difference. Next slide, please. God went with the people of Israel. When they walked through the desert, having left Egypt, they followed in the daytime a pillar of cloud, at night a pillar of fire. God went with them. Next slide, please, John. God met Moses. If you've seen the Prince of Egypt, God meets Moses at a burning bush and says, go to Pharaoh. Moses is the butt guy. But. But someone goes with him. Aaron goes with him. Aaron stands beside him and accompanies him to speak to Pharaoh. And even Jesus, on the next slide please, John, sent out his disciples in twos. The real importance of accompanying each other on our journey, not trying to live on our own as Christians. Fourthly, if we have the next slide, John. How to build up the church? Use the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you. Can we have the next slide, please, John? The Holy Spirit can speak directly to you, but often he will speak to us through others when they use their gifts of prophecy, teaching, wisdom, speaking the truth in love, mercy, encouragement, revelation, vision, tongue, interpretation, and so on. At the end of Acts chapter 4, we read, living in the fear of the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. In Acts 16, Paul came out of prison and they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. After Alpha on Friday, I felt a little bit awkward for Susie. Susie and I were supposed to be looking after the little ones. But we only had the one little one, and Grandad, who had come with his daughter, the toddler's mum, was actually a Christian already, and he took the granddaughter out. And so there was a sense in which Susie was redundant on that morning. And I thought, oh goodness, will she want to come again? Will she feel, you know, that there's no need for her? By the time I opened the email, when I got home after that, there was a great email from Susie saying, didn't it go well this morning? It was great to be there. I couldn't have asked for anything more encouraging. I felt she needed encouraging, but she was the one who blessed me. Thank you, Susie, for that. That was a real blessing. Paul sent for the disciples in Acts 20, and after encouraging them, set out for Macedonia. He travelled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people. A number of weeks ago, Faith made a prophecy about Susie having a baby. And Tinky got up and shared with us last Sunday that indeed her daughter-in-law, Susie, was pregnant. That's a great encouragement to Tinky. I hope it was an encouragement to us. I know that when she spoke about praying about situations, when she was talking about the lady who wanting a baby, was not marrying because she felt she couldn't have children, was now married and expecting a child. I know that it encouraged people in the church here to pray. I hope that some of the words that I speak are an encouragement to you. I hope that some of the words spoken by the band are an encouragement to you. The words of the songs are an encouragement to you. I hope that everybody who gets up, as Julie has this morning and as many others have in the past, you encourage, you give blessing. Thank you so much for putting yourself out there. I want to encourage you. It says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. I'm not that any of those gifts aren't great, but let's seek direct revelation from God, seek direct prophecy from God. Let's seek all that he wants to give us. Finally, the fifth thing. Can we have the next slide, John? Believe and use God's word. Romans chapter 15, verse everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Can we have the next slide, please, John? The scriptures were used in all sorts of circumstances. The devil took Jesus onto a high point and he said, look at all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all of these if you bow down and worship me. Perhaps in some ways that was the least disguised of the temptations. But Jesus uses scripture to resist the devil's temptations. Jesus said to him in Matthew chapter 4, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Scripture, Jesus allowed it to direct him. The next slide, please, John. Peter used scripture. The Spirit had come at Pentecost. People were speaking in tongues. People had come from miles around and they suddenly heard somebody else standing up there praising God in their own language. And some of them went, wow! And others went, they've been having too much to drink. Look at them. Shame on them. Peter gets up and says, no. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They've not had too much to drink. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel when he said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Peter was using scripture to help understand the situation. And so we too today must use scripture. Perhaps some of us, when we are feeling low and not feeling loved, need to turn to the words of scripture that say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. To turn to scripture when we're thinking about, is it right for me to do this? Should I do that? We can use scripture as our guide and believe what it says. The song we sang, I am who you say I am. Too often I believe I am who I say I am. We must not be who we think we are or who we say we are. How many times do we go, oh, you twit, or words to that effect? You Wally, you know, other words. Whatever we've done in that moment, and however bad we feel, I am who he says I am. I am a child of God. We've got to believe that word. So, the 5 points, last slide please, John. Is there another one? Oh, there it is. I just love that little picture of encouragement in the background. The taller one encouraging the shorter one. Use names to convey encouragement. Give gifts that have a value or express a value. Express your value for the person. Over the years, I've been given financial gifts from single pounds to thousands of pounds. One of the most special was a £10 note from someone in Lee Park who was on benefits. And I was being given, you know, a gift of 10 times that amount from someone else. Someone in the church paid our mortgage 30 times that amount every month. But that 10 quid really stuck with me because that 10 quid was the widow's mite. It doesn't matter the monetary value of that gift, but it was the cost to the guy who gave it to me that was so special. Don't think that what you have is too little to give to someone else, because your small gift may convey great love. Thirdly, go with someone so they don't have to go alone. Whether it's going to the hospital, going to the doctors, just going out so they can have a trip. I do understand, although I'm married, that when you're on your own, there is no impetus to go out. because you go out and you sit on your own in a coffee shop. Why should you pay extra money to sit on your own somewhere? Let's be mindful of the people who are on their own and go with them so they don't go alone. Let's use the gifts the Holy Spirit has given us and let's believe and use God's word. And I think Helen is going to put some of those things into practice now.